Kia ora. This program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Hello, welcome to the Local Culture Show on Wellington Access Radio. This is a show where we talk to people who are involved in the arts in Aotearoa. Today we are joined by a wonderful guest whose name is Ben, and he runs a event management company called VMorg, I believe. And Toby, who is my co-host, I have a question for you. Do you know what VMorg is?
No idea.
Well, Ben, do you think you could enlighten my friend Toby as to what VMorg Limited is all about?
Yeah, kia ora team. And Toby, for a quick run through, VMorg is a creative hub where we do merchandising and run live music events. We normally show up at sort of festivals and sell a few tees and hoodies, and then we run a few tours and events during the year. Yeah, it's been going for a few years and we're having a good time as we go.
So what do you do in VMorg? What is your role within the company?
So I started off with a good friend in high school, back in 2016-17, and we're just like keen to make t-shirts, and then eventually we found events, and I don't know, I fell in love with it, and we separated ways as he stayed in full time, and now I'm sort of just a creative director. It's probably a more formal way to put it, but I like to think I just do shit and just keep having fun.
So your name is kind of what inspired the VMorg name, I assume, because your name is Ben Morgan, is that right?
Yeah, Ben Morgan, the Morg obviously comes from me, and the V comes from the guy who started it with, Luke Riley. He tried to start a rap career and named himself Valet. He got on stage with ASAP Ferg at one stage of his career, and then he sort of gave it up reasonably quickly, eh?
Interesting. So where does the V come from?
His stage name was Valet.
Oh, right. Yep. Valet. Okay, that makes sense. VMorg, I understand it that when it started, it was a bit of a different thing to what it is today. It's sort of changed over the years. So you were saying that you first started VMorg and you just wanted to sell t-shirts.
Yeah.
Was that just the goal originally, that you wanted to sell a few t-shirts and leave it at that?
Yeah, well, when we first started it, we were just sort of taking inspiration from, Tyler Creator's clothing label, the Odd Future Golf stuff, this team over in Australia called Ruckus Life, who were just, I don't know, sort of idiots who film themselves doing funny stuff, and they just had all this merchandise surrounding it. So, yeah, we just wanted to have a little streetwear label and see how that went.
Yeah. I noticed, I watched some of the very early VMorg videos on YouTube, and I found the Instagram account that you used to market the clothing. It was called like Mind...
Mind Gone.
Mind Gone, yeah, Mind
Instagram
Gone.
Instagram was Mind Gone, and it was just us doing dumb shit, and I cannot believe that was the start of us. Like, and if you go back on the Facebook and look at some of those videos, same as like the YouTube, there's just these videos of us doing dumb shit.
Yeah, I mean, if anyone doesn't know what I'm talking about, I recommend looking up,
which might be quite a lot of people.
it's like a treasure trove of just Munter content. There's like one video of someone getting a bowl cut with a beer bong. Is that you?
Yeah, I'm getting
Wait, what is this one? What is VMorg? ?
Oh, no, you got to go to the Instagram account. So if you go to the very end of the video, then you'll see a little Instagram handle. There's also like a video of someone getting a cigarette lit by a flamethrower, it looks like, or some aerosol can being set on fire.
Good friend Kieran.
So how did that sort of marketing tactic go for you? Did that do you anything good for the brand?
I think it was a lot of fun. And it definitely, like, when I was living in Wellington and we were like just, you know, a big ball of energy as a friend group, like, it did so much for us. But we were essentially just like a clothing company for our mates. So I think when we took ourselves a bit more seriously and got away from this sort of behavior, we did have like, you know, some more basic designs that we could go to festivals with. But I mean, yeah, as far as this marketing went, it definitely provided a lot of entertainment for me and my mates, but I didn't go further than that.
Yeah, it does look very fun. I also understand that from pretty early on, or maybe after this whole marketing strategy, there was a bit of a connection with streetwear and skate culture. Is that right?
Yeah. So Luke, who I started with, he had a really good relationship with Empire Skate in Lower Hutt because we're from, you know, Wainamata. And yeah, we started running a skate comp once a year. The first year gave away, I think, like $500. The next year gave away a car, and the year after that gave away a car again. So yeah, we got involved in that, like once a year running a skate comp that, yeah, went real fucking well. But we just sort of, I don't know, we lost the steam on that as well.
How come?
It's a lot of work to put on a skate comp, even if it is once a year. But like, there's probably like a month of work that goes on after hours when we're both working full time.
Oh man!
Yeah, when it got to the next one, I think it was right around lockdown was when we should have run the comp. No, we actually did before COVID. I don't know. It was a lot more of Luke's involvement with the skate comp. That's probably a better way to put it. And without him, I wasn't ready to front all the time and effort for it.
Yeah. Did you manage to kind of like ingratiate yourselves with the skate crowd in Wellington?
I always knew people who skated, but I wasn't big in the Wellington skate scene. Because again, yeah, I can do a few things, but I'm not tied in a skateboard in no way, shape or form.
At some point you managed to switch over almost entirely to music, it seems like. So you went through quite a few stages of the marketing strategies of this brand. Do you remember what inspired you to start switching to music?
It was just being involved in shows, to be honest. So we had a friend who lives up in Auckland, Will Giles, was crashing on our couch. He went to high school with my flatmates at the time. He's like, oh, we're putting on an EP. We've got an EP coming out next month. And we're like, fuck yeah, should we just put on like a show for you in Wellington? And that was our first ever gig. Just mates drove down from Auckland, played a show, and I loved it. Like, I loved being involved. And ran a couple more gigs the next year, and then I just was like, fuck yeah, this is what I want to do. And that's where I'd say most of the change came from, was just re-ran, yeah, three gigs before 2019. And I got home from a bunch of shows over the summer and thought, nah, fuck yeah, I'm going to do it this.
Okay. How did you manage to combine the two? The selling clothing and the gigs?
I don't know. You can always show up at a gig with a box of teas and try and sell them. In fact, that's where we've done most of our sales.
Oh, yeah. So people online, actually, people are keen on it.
In person is perfect.
Okay. Yeah, why do you think it's important that people throw gigs? Do you do it for fun, or do you do it out of some deep-seated need to serve the creative community?
I do it personally because I want to see live music myself, and there's just so much, like, I don't know, it's a lot of fun to fill a room full of people. So I got into throwing gigs myself because I thought it would be something fun to do, and it was. Like, I became addicted to sort of just being involved, whether it was, like, with a camera in hand or just helping out the bands or doing T-shirts at the back for, you know, someone else.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, as long as there's good music, people will come to a show. And there was a huge scene a couple of years back in Wellington in that indie community that just, yeah, everything was just flowing.
Do you reckon it's not like that anymore?
Well, I mean, I moved away from Wellington, so I'm not out every week. But I hope it is.
Yeah, I reckon it's still pretty popping. I mean, I wasn't really that involved a few years ago, so I can't say, but I think it's pretty popular. iGum packs out every week.
Oh, yeah, iGum's a staple. I think Auckland needs something like that, like something that gives a lot of up-and-coming bands a place to go, a lot of people to develop, like, a music love. I developed a lot of my music love from iGum. Like, shout out Joel, he did sound at one of my really early gigs and said, hey, there's, you know, a free gig on every Wednesday with $5 beers. And I'm like, I'm sold.
Oh, well, I've got bad news for you. It's unfortunately $6 now.
I've heard the rumors. And
yeah, we call it Pilsner Gate.
$1?
It's a scandal.
What are they trying to do?
Do you have, like, a ethos for when you throw gigs? Like, do you think a lot about what sort of experience you want to provide for people who show up to VMorg parties?
I think most of my ethos comes down to I want to make sure that the music flows sonically. So I want to make sure, you know, the bands on the lineup will sound good together. It's not going to clash genres too much. I do really admire a lot of, like, the other promoters who put a lot of time into the like venue setup as well. I know like Two Minds down in Christchurch, they'll show up at a venue and literally like reskin it. And then Department of Arts who do all that stuff like R&B and the festival scene. So amazing. But yeah, as far as our ethos goes, is we're just trying to put on a good time musically and hope that goes well.
Yeah. Another thing that I noticed is you developed really close relationships with the artists you work with. And I think the website's different now, but when I was looking at it a couple of months ago, you had sort of a list of artists that you collaborated with or you booked shows for.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say? Did you develop a close relationship with the people you work with?
Yeah, I think that's a huge part of like being in the creative industry is maintaining relationships. And yeah, so those pages still exist on the VMorg site, but we've just done a big reskin just for the sort of like new stuff that's going on because it's always fun to play with design. But yeah, like I think there was like 8 artists on the website at the time. It was, you know, people like Miss Cressida, who don't exist anymore, but there's now sort of a few different projects between Eli Superfly, Sleeping Village, and Damon MW2. And then there was, you know, Violet Hurst and Ski Resort, the Radlers, Hot Donners, Cloak Bay. Like, I don't know.
Arjuna Oaks.
That don't exist anymore, but a lot of artists that when I was living in Wellington or touring around the country with other bands doing shows with them, definitely developed relationships where I could always call on them if I needed, you know, music.
Yeah. And you also did some merch with a few of those artists. You collaborated on getting some clothing out with them.
Yeah, so we've done a lot with like Arjuna Oaks. We did the first ever There's a Tuesday drop as well. Got a lot more in the pipeline with artists like, you know, Park Road and the Butlers and stuff like that. But yeah, always keen to both help, you know, artists get their merch out as well.
How do you source the artists to work with you on those projects? I mean, what sort of role do you play in actually getting this merch out?
So we facilitate. So obviously we make our own merch, which means we have access to, you know, printing and blanks and stuff like that. So we just form a nice middle ground where we can help them get it made.
Hypothetically, if we were going to make some Noise Report t-shirts, what would that process look like? Could you give us a step-by-step?
You jump on the email, you send me a photo of what you want, and I come back to you with a quote, and then you say yes or no.
Okay. So you don't play any part in doing the actual design?
I do a lot of our designs for VMorg especially, have played a part in some of the other artists' designs as well. But for the most part, like, bands are full of creative people, so they normally have a vision for what they want to do with their merchandise as well.
Yeah. Where would you say VMorg is based? Because it seems like you've done gigs all over the show. Auckland, Wellington, some lodge in the middle of the North Island.
Yeah, we took over a pub in the winter of 2020. I walked into Awakuni and 3 days later I had the keys to the pub. So we ran that for a winter. But I think VMorg's heart is in Wellington, but with me up in Auckland, it's sort of leading itself to being up here now.
Okay. Yeah, I'm curious. I wanted to ask about the lodge winter gigs. How did you manage to get people up there to see, like, Wellington or Auckland bands?
Well, it wasn't a case of getting people up to see them. Like, Awakuni pumps during winter. There are people coming down from Auckland every weekend to go up the mountain. There's people coming up from Wellington and all over. One of our largest nights at the lodge was Cloak Bay and Corduroy, so you've got people from Raglan and Wellington coming up. You know, the place was busy because it was a busy weekend on the mountain anyway. It was a very fun experience as well, introducing new music to a lot of people in town because, you know, they're used to having a covers band because that's sort of what the locals can provide versus the actual original music.
Yeah. Okay. Did it feel like at any point the event management took over the design and the clothing aspect? Because it started, you 100%. Were just trying to sell some t-shirts, but now it's like you think of VMorg and you think more of the parties and the shows than you do the actual clothing.
Yeah, 100%. I think, yeah, there was a point where we sort of looked at it and thought, like, cool, like, this is now merchandise for VMorg, which is an events platform, in the same way that a Thrasher tee is just merchandise for their magazine.
Another thing that's, well, obviously you said you're doing a bit of a reskin of the website, but something I remember seeing up there was a bit of zine content or published printed content that you were either involved in producing or promoting?
Yeah, so up on the website were three zines. There was the Two Minds original one that they did back in lockdown 2020, which I actually featured in. So I had that up on the website until we ran out of the copies we had to distribute.
Who did Two Minds?
In 2020 as well. And then Denzel DeRusha, a guy I went to uni with, he had his design up there as well.
Okay. The Minds magazine, who was responsible for making that?
Oh, so it's a creative community in Christchurch who throw a lot more DJ-based parties, but again, like, they're so focused on making sure it's like a nice, fun event, and that's Two Minds.
Oh, Two Minds, okay.
So shout out Dan.
Yeah. What about Ben's little zine, the 8,000 or so, whatever it's called?
Yeah, again, that was like a little lockdown project where pretty much over the like 2-day period, I just jotted out a bunch of shit that was just like weighing on me. And once released, like, it was crazy. Like, you just feel like all these mountains are now tiny because it doesn't actually matter. But yeah, 8,000 or so. It was just sort of like trying to say that a year had passed, and I was planning to do them yearly, but have not touched a zine since.
Right. Okay. Another thing I wanted to...
Available.
Oh, sorry, what was that?
Oh, still available on the website, I think. I've still got a few copies left in Wellington. I might just have to get Mum to ship them.
Oh, nice. Another thing I wanted to ask about was the little bedroom series that you did in, I assume, your bedroom?
Yeah. So that was my flat in Wellington, 25 Everton Terrace. That's like, 2019 was just this prime year of getting involved in gigs, meeting people. Like, I went to Torrobombora for the first time, and I met Marco Rowe backstage and all that kind of stuff. So, like, developed a lot of relationships and friendships in that house. So that bedroom that was shot in, like, Ed Boy came through and filmed it all for us. Vanessa Cohn edited it all. Amazing people. And then me and my mate Betty just sat down with a bunch of musicians and asked them dumb questions.
Oh, really? Okay. I didn't have time to, like, listen through the whole thing, but what sort of information did you pry out of your guests?
Well, that was actually sponsored by a brewery called Kedadu as well. So we just sat down and had a beer with them. So some came by after work when they had time. Some came by during the day when, like, me and Betty weren't working. And we just chat. So Betty had no knowledge of most musicians. So he just asked these very, like, you know, how's it all going? How did it all get started? And me, I had a few more, like, closer queries with these musicians that I'd seen on stage, you know, 3 or 4 times already.
Mm. And you had some pretty cool guests on. You had, like, Benny's drummer.
So we had Felix from Benny, Ricky, who's just done like an Australian tour, like her career is going amazingly. Arjuna Oaks, who's just like pumping out all these amazing records and shows. And then Corduroy, like the original singer Rosie, came down to have a chat with Riley, two amazing people. And then Marco Rod, I think, finished the series off, two of their members. Yeah, it was just lucky that we happened to exist in Wellington alongside all these amazing musicians at once and knew who they were and were friends.
Yeah. Are there any other major VMorg projects that I haven't mentioned so far? I mean, there's been quite a few that I've mentioned, but any slip between the cracks?
Nah, you've done your research. Shit, it's bad on me if I forget these milestones as well, but I don't know, it's been 5 years of fun time.
Yeah. Does it ever feel like you have got too much on your plate? Like, did it ever feel like you lost focus of why you first started it? Or anything like that?
Oh, all the time. I think that happens with anyone who does something creative for too long. It's like you stop and you evaluate and you're like, oh man, like, do I continue doing this? And there's definitely a few moments over the last couple of years with COVID where, I don't know, like you put a lot of work into a tour and you're just like, oh, this didn't happen. And that's like a few months of my life gone, dedicated to this one project. But I don't know. I think that's why people are in the creative industry, because they want to see things done. So everyone who's like grinding it out and sticking it out, like, there's a reason that they're doing that.
Yeah, that makes sense. What is your vision for VMorg in the future? Do you have any other projects on the back burner or anything you want to do in the coming few years?
I have always wanted to play my part in a festival, organizing and curating a lineup, but that's sort of taking things another step further than what I've done. Like, I'm very comfortable in these, sort of club shows, in that sort of capacity. I'm working for a large promoting team during the day as well, Echo Entertainment, so that's going to open my eyes to a whole bunch of larger stuff as well. And then VMorg's just this like fun project for me in the background. So I think, yeah, as long as I can keep doing a few things and having fun and essentially just going on tour with my mates, I think the VMorg dream stays alive.
Mm. And this year marks, is it the fifth year of VMorg's existence?
5 years. We have our big birthday up in Auckland next month at the Hollywood Avondale, a beautiful little theatre. And yeah, I actually got some really good news just before. Everyday Weekend are going to come on board and sponsor us. So that takes a load off my mind with a bit of support there.
Yeah, awesome. Anything else that you want to shout out or announce before it goes ahead?
We are planning a little tour with Wellington band Heavy Chest, who the lead singer actually lives up here now, and Eli Superfly, but that's probably going to be announced in a couple of days. But yeah, it's an exciting one, hopefully, for the listeners to hear.
Yeah, if people listening want to find VMorg or go to your fifth birthday party, where can they go to find you?
Social media is always a great place to start. VMorg is a weird word, but it's literally just the letter V and then M-O-R-G. But yeah, vmorg.co.nz. I did the website design, so if anyone has any critiques, feel free to flick them my way. Otherwise, just vmorg.limited on Instagram and Facebook.
Wicked. Well, I've asked all the questions I have, so thanks very much for calling in and having a chat with us.
Nah, huge. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. This has been VMorg on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM. And I think for the remaining half hour, we'll just play some music, right?
Oh, yeah. Ben, do you happen to have any tracks you want us to spin here in the studio?
Jack Berry just released a really cool song called Always. I've been listening to a lot of Woody Donner lately. And if you play any Nick and Ruben, Heavy Chest, I'll always appreciate that.
Nice. Okay, we got Jack Berry Always coming up now. Thanks very much for talking to us, Ben.
Easy. Sean team, thank you very much for the opportunity.
All right.
See you later.
See ya.
Later.
Oh,
listening to Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM, and you just heard No Follow Through. Is that the new song by Woody Donna, Solomon?
Well, I believe it is. She also has an upcoming EP to be released, I believe, on the 27th. So stay tuned for that.
Well, yeah, I think we're all excited for that. Great local act. What else did you want to play, Solomon?
Good question. Well, I think we're going to play Big Wow by Nick and Ruben.
Another excellent choice.
Inside of me, I hate them. There's no love in the world for me. Arcana, the only card I wanna see. Sometimes the last word, it's gotta be the first. Best stuff coming out, feeling like the worst. It gets you so good. Gotta see the girth. Got a tie or a gun or a number on your shirt. Nothing in the city that's an enemy. Vision come awake, the lies and piss inside of me. I hate them, there's no love in the world for me.
Arcanum, the only card I want to see. And I'm late in a city that's an enemy. Vision come awake, the lies are pissed inside of me. I hate him, there's no love in the world for me. Arcanum. Anything coming out sound like a sin. City full of tombstones, that's a mass grave. In the middle of the riverbed, Arcana, ran up to the riverhead. The ghost in the alleyway told me to jump. Gotta love someone before you die by one. It's smelling like piss when the sunshine comes. Gotta love someone before you die by one. And up late in the city, that's an enemy. Vision come away, the lies and piss inside of me. There's no love in the world for me. I can't help, the only girl I wanna see. And I'm late in the city, that's an enemy. It should come up with the lies and bliss inside of me. I hate them, there's no love in the world for me. I can't help.
Arcanum by Show Me the Body on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM. That song was sent in as a suggestion by Chris, was it not?
It was indeed.
Our mutual friend Chris. Okay.
What is up next for us, DJ Toby?
This is the lead single from the new EP by Leica with Two Eyes, local group from Auckland. I know the two girls, they're both lovely. And this is a very fun song.
At the end of the day, you walk in the door. Got a look on your face that I've seen before. But I know just the way to make you forget it all. Say you've got shit to do. Thank you.
listening to the Toby and Solomon Show on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM. Is that not what it's called?
Yes, Toby. It's the Toby and Solomon Show.
No, hang on. What did we agree the show was called?
Well, I don't know. We clearly have differing opinions on that.
I think we should make it about us, because people tune in. They don't just tune in for the great music, which we have, and the fascinating interviews. They tune in for our personalities.
Says the guy who didn't say anything during the last interview we did.
Well, I felt like you asked all the questions that I would have asked. So, anyway, tell us about your excursion yesterday.
Well, I went out with my friend Chris to a place.
The aforementioned Chris.
Yeah, the aforementioned Chris, to a record store in Wainuia Mata called Wonderland Records, or it may just be called Wonderland. Anyway, this place is jam-packed with records. Pretty much hard to walk. I got my foot stuck in a box of records at one point. I had to have my friend Chris pull me out. But in amongst the debris, we found a record which actually I haven't listened to before and Toby hasn't listened to before.
I'd never heard of it.
And it's by Thomas Dolby, and it's from an album called The Flat Earth. And the track is called Hyperactive. Now, there's some amazing art for this album, which I can't really convey with words. But I think we're going to give the track a listen. I mean, honestly, you have no idea what this could show. How would you describe the artwork, Toby?
I don't think it's possible to describe it, really. I think you'll have to Google it.
I think so, too.
All right, here we go. Hyperactive by Thomas Dolby.
Tell me about your childhood.
At the tender age of three, I was hooked to a machine just to keep my mouth from spouting junk. Ha! Must have took me for a fool, cause they chucked me out of school, cause the teacher knew I had the fun. But tonight I'm on the edge, better shut me in the fridge, cause I'm burning up. I'm burning up. With the vision in my brain, and the music in my veins, and the dirty with me in my blood. Hey, I'm messing with my heart.
Hyperactive, now I'm tall. Hyperactive.
I'll be honest, that was pretty awesome. What do you think, Solomon?
I thought it was fantastic.
Now, Solomon's poking around at the record player. What are you up to there?
I found a piece of vinyl titled Soviet Army Chorus and Band, and the artistic director is Boris Alexandrov. Is that how you'd say his name? Mm. So we're going to try to get the vinyl player going. Toby, please turn the vinyl mixer on.
Solomon, do you think it's a bit controversial to be playing sort of patriotic Russian war music at a time like this, given the situation in Ukraine?
Some may say so, but I think we should still appreciate the Russian art. Oh, no.
I don't think it's working. We haven't used the record player before.
Oh, man, we should have tested this.
We're pretty useless.
Oh, no.
Is that working at all?
Oh.
Oh.
You have something?
Mm-hmm. Just turn it up if you can.
I think I can. This is very ominous.
Pitch. Oh. Oh my god, this is turning into some sort of experimental avant-garde piece.
It is. So what are we hearing? Surely that's not the actual music.
I think the record's skipping as well. God, this is terrible. Yeah, something's gone terribly wrong there, Solomon. Jesus Christ. Okay, maybe we'll try that some other time. But it would be great if we could like get that working and we could start bringing in our own vinyl records.
Yeah, we should do it.
But what's in your collection other than that thing we heard before?
I have an early Moby record called... Oh, what is it? Very early Moby record, Tubular Bells, Jeff Buckley's Grace, mm-hmm. Odyssey and Oracle by The Zombies.
That's a good starting point.
Something by Jurati Kolum.
I've got a lot of Steely Dan and ELO records.
Oh, nice.
So I think, yeah, between us we've got a pretty comprehensive collection. I don't know what more you could want, really.
I think Hybrid Rose.
Smooth.
Oh,
man.
What have you got queued up there,
smooth,
Toby?
Smooth.
So,
not at my phone, so leave a message when you hear the dial tone, and leave me alone. Not at my phone, so leave a message when you hear the dial tone, and leave me alone. So leave me alone. I am not at my phone, just trying to get some bone, then trying to get myself safely home. Not at my phone, I want my satisfaction, and you're being a distraction. Baby boy, that's just not happening. Want you to call me. At my phone, so leave a message when you hear the dial tone.
Style Tone by Hybrid Rose on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM, Toby and Solomon Show.
The Toby and Solomon Show, indeed. So, what have we got up next, Toby?
I don't know. I've got nothing queued.
Well, you have quite a few playlists on your Spotify here.
I do. Solomon makes fun of my playlists.
Well, you see, most people have names for their playlists. Toby's playlist is titled things along the line of Music 2, Music 3, Music 4, okay. All the way up to Music 12.
Okay, Smarty Pants, pick a number from 1 to 12. And I guarantee that whatever I play, it'll be some awesome music.
How about Music 10?
Music 10, okay. This is what you... this is what you... this is what you
so
asked
what is,
for.
So what is this playlist?
Music 10 is like my sacred choral music playlist.
This will be a great backing track for the rest of our show. Imagine if we conducted interviews where this was the bed of noise under everything. I think it's
it
very relaxing.
It would lend a slightly different vibe to the show.
I reckon it lends an air of sophistication.
I think it adds a kind of mood of sacred reflection.
Mm.
Just thinking about God and stuff.
Angels.
All right. Pick another number.
Let's go with Music 6.
Music 6.
Music 6, and I want the fourth track.
Music 6 is a great playlist. Okay. Let's just play this one, man. This is this is Oleo by the Miles Davis Quartet on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM. 1001.
Let's go.
Number 1.
Just like we do it?
Yeah, watch the tempo, probably.
Yeah, let's keep it up there.
Hey, girl.
Thanks for tuning in to Community Zone. We're here Monday to Friday from 5 till 6 on 106.1 FM. Thanks, New Zealand On Air. That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard. Thanks, New Zealand On Air, for funding accessmedia.nz.